You're listening to From the Archives, the home of NHPR's most timeless stories. I'm Eric Larrabee. In 1989, NHPR humanities reporter Robbie Honig profiled the Golgonooza Letter Foundry and Press. This small shop in the village of Ashuelot was opened by two poets from Boston who shared a passion for letterpress printing.
We started with making type for ourselves, for our own poetry books, but also making a living by making books for other people, too. We didn't want to just go out and have to work somewhere else and come back and do our art. We felt that if we could possibly do our art at the same time, we would be learning how to get better at what we did.
That's Golgonooza co-founder Julia Ferrari. By 1989, the shop was producing artisanal books that fetched up to thousands of dollars apiece. Stick around after the story for my conversation with Julia. But first, from the archives this week, here's reporter Robbie Honig at the Golgonooza Letter Foundry and Press in 1989.
In this particular case, I'm making a certain quantity of each letter as a font so that I can use them for corrections.
It is in an old converted mill dormitory that Dan Carr and Julia Ferrari, married business partners, live and work. Surrounded by a family of printing presses and tiny typeface characters of every kind, they print books for a handful of high-end publishers, books that sell for hundreds to tens of thousands of dollars. 7 years ago, they fled the high rent and cramped quarters of Boston for the comparative ease of Ashuelot, New Hampshire, a small village just a few miles from both the Vermont and Massachusetts borders. They call their handmade type foundry business the Golgonooza Press, after a poem by William Blake in which mythical creatures transform the world through art.
Golgonooza was the place, and two people lived in that place, and it was Los and Ennie Tharman. And Los was the blacksmith. He worked in the forge. And Ennie Tharman, the female, worked with her looms, and she wove the hearts and souls of human beings.
Julia Ferrari works the keyboard at Golgonooza, typing letters that Dan Carr has forged and cut by hand.
And in a way, this our business here, for us, touches on that vision, because it's two people, it's not just the business, but it's our lives. The outside, the garden, the cooking upstairs, everything comes together for us, and it's shared, and it all becomes part of the art, really.
With Dan Carr's background in literature and Julia Ferrari's in fine art, they began as printer and assistant, but now share equally in this mom-and-pop business. There were a few cold winters before things really started humming, and today they work regularly as one of just six such letterpresses in the country, bringing out a handful of books a year for such publishers as the Limited Editions Club.
This one is Octavio Paz, Poems of Octavio Paz, illustrated by Robert Motherwell.
Oh, wow.
That's the effective type.
It looks burned into the page.
Yeah. It interacts with the page. It changes the surface. It changes the paper itself into a new thing. It's sculptural.
So is the process of cutting letters by hand sculptural. This is a method of making type and printing with it unchanged since Gutenberg's day. To aficionados of beautiful books, Gutenberg's method has never been surpassed. Not by new print technology, and certainly not by the computer, which dominates the industry today.
Just look at a type specimen of computer faces. It is a junkyard of stuff.
Harry Duncan is the founder of the Cummington Press, now the subject of a 50-year retrospective at the New York Center for the Book Arts. Duncan is considered the person most responsible for the renaissance of hand letterpress printing.
And a designer has to choose from stuff in that junkyard. If he has the chance, as Dan Carr has done, of cutting his own punches and making his own faces, he has that terrific resistance which is involved in sculpting steel and realizing the letter through handwork. And that's how, that's the only way I know to get our own experience honestly into what we produce.
Typeface reflects the era it's created in, just like a painting, says Duncan. You would no more print Chaucer in Bodoni than you would Eliot in old blackletter. Because print can be an emblem of its time, it's important to keep the human hand in printing.
The alphabet has always evolved through handwork. And the facility of generating letters by the computer, or on the drafting board for that matter, simply will not make a typeface which we look at and say, yes, this is the ABCs for our day.
For us, there's really no difference between what we do and what the computers can do. We can do anything they can do. For the average typesetter, the average type user, that's not true. But we can create our own letters. We can change things. It's slower, it's harder, but it's we can do anything that they can do. And actually, the typefaces are much finer in letterpress, even still, because they were cut originally by a human being or a machine guided as carefully as it could be to the human standard. And each size was a different scale.
They never will invent a computer that can kern, says Carr. Kerning is the delicate carving of a piece of type that lets the capital T just shade the small O and gives the W enough room for its legs. We read the text, but we see the print. And Harry Duncan says that the human artistic sense of what is the right look for a book enhances our experience of it.
Well, machines don't invent anything, do they? And I think it's important for books, which are sort of the central objects of civilization, to be creative and inventive in their form.
Reporting from Ashuela, New Hampshire, this is Robbie Honig.
That story from Robbie was produced in 1989. In it, you heard from Golganooza co-founder Julia Ferrari, and she joins us on the phone right now. Julia, welcome to From the Archives.
Thank you very much.
Can you walk me through some of the different techniques that you use at Golganooza?
Okay. Well, what we do here is we make books by hand, printing with letterpress printing. Besides printing, there is bookbinding, and also doing punch cutting, which actually does go back directly to what Gutenberg did, which was making the letters by hand.
Could you explain a little more about punch cutting, exactly what exactly that entails?
Okay, sure. Punch cutting is the making of a letter, the sculpting of a letter on a piece of steel. You draw the letter onto the face of the steel, the top of the steel. It's called a punch. And you sculpt it using gravers and files to actually cut and gouge the steel. So you're working at size. So if you're making a 12-point letter, which is the common size of in books for reading, 12, 16-point type, you're cutting at that size.
So when your shop is producing, you know, one of these individual letters at any given font size, like just that process of, you know, carving the steel and creating that one letter, how long does that usually take?
If you're skilled, it takes one day to carve a letter. I am nowhere near that skilled. I am in the process of learning that skill. My partner, Dan Carr, had become very skilled at that and had cut two different typefaces. But I am following in his footsteps, or attempting to follow in his footsteps, and so I am training to continue that tradition here. And so it takes me much longer than one day. I'm just stretching my wings.
To sort of get a sense of just the time scale that you work on, you know, you mentioned that it could take a day or more to carve, you know, to punch cut a single letter. You know, what's the time frame to set a single page or to complete, you know, one book project?
Well, a book project using monotype machines or handsetting, it's a little different for each. The casting machines, you do about 75 lines an hour. So depending on the length of the book, there were books projects that have that took us months. It's a slow process, but I think slow is a relative term, too. It's just a process that takes its own time, that doesn't get hurried up.
In the 1989 story, the reporter, Robbie Honig, mentioned a few cold winters for you and Dan before the shop really took off. So what were those years like before you really started to see some success? And how were you defining success for yourselves there?
Well, we were following our vision, and that was the most important thing. It didn't matter how we got there, just that we got there. There were months where we didn't make much money at all, and we had to keep going. It was slow at first, but we persisted.
Julia, here's what Dan had to say about computers in that original 1989 story.
For us, there's really no difference between what we do and what the computers can do. We can do anything they can do.
Does that still hold true for you today, or how have technological advances impacted your shop, if at all?
Well, I think that still retains truth, because the difference between the computer technology and this hand technology is not that one is superior than the other, but I think the difference is that letterpress brings to each individual that works with it the knowledge that is learned through working with the hands and the body. And letterpress became an art form, just like etching and engraving became an art form when it was no longer needed commercially. And I think that's where letterpress stands. It's become an art form, and it's just as important as any of the arts, and it has its own gift. This process, this craft, kept me learning more. I never got bored. I'm still not bored. There's always something deeper. You can always go deeper. There's something new to learn. And that's, I think, because it's a hand process, and you're always taken a step further. You're learning how to push past the resistance of the human heart and mind, and I think that's part of the challenge and why it's rewarding.
What does the future hold for Golganooza?
Well, my feeling about it is that there are young people out there that are interested in finding out more about this hand process. We live in a world where we don't get to do things with our hands as much anymore. I almost think of it as passing on this gift of the fire that is in me to others. I don't want to keep that energy for myself. I feel like it's important to share it, because someone shared it with me at one point, and it changed my life. So I think that's what I would say would be my future, to be able to leave something behind that others can carry forward.
That's Julia Ferrari, co-founder of Golganooza Letter, Foundry, and Press. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your taking the time to talk with me.
Want to learn more about Golganooza? Check out their website.
My website is GolganoozaLetterFoundry.com, and that has a journal and it has other things on it. And that relates to William Blake's name for the place of transformation through art. And that's what I hope to keep doing.
And if you're looking for more stories from the NHPR archives, be sure to visit our blog at nhpr.org. Tune in next week, when we'll be revisiting a 1990 report on the pros and cons of public kindergarten in New Hampshire. I'm Eric Larrabee, and this is From the Archives.